Welcome to Then and Now with Ed Stevens, President of the International Preterist Association. Then and Now is a weekly podcast designed to explore past fulfillment of Bible prophecy in order to equip us for guiding the church in its ongoing reform. And now, with today's message, here's Ed Stevens.
Welcome back to another study of biblical eschatology from a preterist perspective. Last time we mentioned the two different approaches to resurrection within the modern preterist movement, the collective body view and the individual body views. Then we looked at the biblical concepts of Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna, and read several pages from Dr. Robert Morey's excellent book on death and the afterlife. That whole study last time was an introduction to the material that we'll be looking at this time and next time. So if you have not listened to that yet, you'll want to go back and listen to that last session before listening to this one and the next one. In this session, we will deal with that perpetual nagging question that futurists relentlessly pester us with, which is, why weren't the physical bodies of the saints raised out of the graves in AD 70? You will want to pay real close attention to the answer that we're going to be providing to that question here in this session. I believe this will be a very satisfying answer that will bless your socks off when you finally understand it, and it will give you something that you can fire right back at our futurist critics. If we have time, we will also look at some of the various definitions and concepts about resurrection that other Christians have had down through the centuries, where those concepts came from and why they are wrong. Then we will show what the original biblical definitions and concepts are and how they need to be restored in our thinking today. So, before we begin, let's pray. Omnipotent Savior of your elect people, who alone has the power to raise the dead out of Hades and give them a better life in your holy presence forever, we magnify you for sending your Son to die on the cross and for raising him back out of Hades to prove that his promise to redeem us from death was trustworthy. Without his death and resurrection, we would have no hope of an eternal life in a new immortal body in your holy presence in the unseen heavenly realm. Help us now as we study what your word actually teaches about resurrection and our afterlife. It is in the name of your holy Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, before we get into the lesson, I need to correct a misunderstanding that occurred in a previous podcast. Some listeners got the impression that I was accusing the covenant creationist of believing in the doctrine called Christian identity, or British Israelism, since I mentioned those other views in the same context with covenant creationism. That was not what I intended. All I wish to point out was that those various views were some of the bad fruit that has been produced by the collective body view. That does not mean that all covenant creationists hold to Christian identity or vice versa. It simply means that some of the collective body advocates have used the covenant creationist allegorical hermeneutic to justify their belief in some form of Israel-only salvation, like Chris Camillo is teaching. Well, let's talk about the different kinds of resurrection that are mentioned in Scripture. Scripture talks about several kinds of resurrection, not just one kind. For instance, there are texts which talk about us being spiritually raised out of our sin deadness into the eternal life of the New Covenant Kingdom. There are other texts which talk about the physical resurrections of Lazarus, Eutychus, Dorcas, and Jesus. And there are other texts which refer to the final resurrection of the dead out of Hades on the last day. So let's take a little closer look at these various kinds of resurrection that are mentioned and see if we can understand them a little bit better. The first kind of resurrection we want to look at is the bodies out of the ground or bodies out of the graves view. And I use the acronym B-O-G, which spells bog, bodies out of the ground view. And, of course, this is the favorite view of our futurist brothers. There are a number of instances where we see the self-same physical bodies of saints being raised back to life. The son of the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7, verse 15. The daughter of Jairus in Luke 8, verses 54 through 55. Lazarus in John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Eutychus, Dorcas, etc. There were a lot of these bodily resurrections back to physical life, and they're summed up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, as well as Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. The self-same physical body of Jesus was also raised back to life. That is indeed one kind of resurrection which the Bible talks about, and most futurists tend to focus almost exclusively on this kind of resurrection. However, it is not the only kind of resurrection that the Bible mentions, nor is it necessarily the kind of resurrection that was supposed to happen at the last day, which we refer to as the eschatological resurrection. Most futurists, of course, tend to focus almost exclusively on this kind of resurrection, as they continually use these examples that we just gave as proof that the eschatological resurrection had to be a resurrection of physical bodies so that we can get our self-same bodies back just like Jesus did. Futurists claim that it is not enough to get a new body that is like his glorious body. We have to also get a resurrection of our self-same physical bodies like he did. We will point out in our comments below why this argument simply does not hold up. Many futurists believe that the self-same original molecular physical body will be raised out of the ground, then changed into its immortal form to dwell in heaven. However, there are a number of conservative evangelical futurist scholars who believe the disembodied soul is raised out of Hades at the eschatological resurrection and given its new immortal body form at that time. So they see no need for a resurrection of their physical body with a change afterwards into an immortal body. In other words, they think we are raised already immortal at the eschatological resurrection on the last day. That is similar to what we're saying, but not the same. We believe the disembodied souls were raised out of Hades and given their new immortal bodies, not given their old self-same already changed bodies back to them. There is a difference here in the source of this new body that they received, but at least the concept of resurrection out of Hades is basically the same. So, within the futurist camp, there are two basic concepts there of resurrection. Okay, the second kind of resurrection that I believe the Bible talks about is what we would call soteriological resurrection, and it's nothing more than our spiritual salvation. When we're converted or when we're regenerated, we're spiritually raised out of our sin deadness into the life of Christ. And we see that kind of soteriological resurrection mentioned in such passages as Ephesians 2 verse 6, Colossians 2 verse 12, Colossians 3 1, and Romans chapter 6. The spiritually dead, in their trespasses and sins, are raised to walk in newness of life when they are converted and regenerated. That is indeed a spiritual resurrection of their souls while they are still in their physical bodies. All the saints during the transition period had that kind of spiritual life and shared in the millennial reign of Christ during that transition period, because it says in those passages that we just mentioned that they had died with him and were buried with him and were raised with him and seated with him in the heavenly places, from which he was about to come and put down the rest of his enemies, take his kingdom away from the Jews, and give it back to the Father to whom it belongs. Then sit at his right hand to co-rule with him forever afterwards in the eternal kingdom. And so all that language is used there about those saints in the first century who were buried with him and raised with him and seated with him and reigning with him during that transition period. And so that was a spiritual resurrection. They were not literally and experientially seated in the heavenly places on thrones in the heavenly realm and experiencing all the bliss and joy and benefits of the heavenly realm, but they were positionally and relationally raised up with Christ and seated with him in a spiritual sense. And so that's the spiritual resurrection that our New Testament talks about in the first century. And that's not the same thing as the eschatological resurrection. And we'll see that real clearly as we talk about the resurrection of the dead here in a few moments. The third kind of resurrection that the Bible talks about, I believe, is the collective body resurrection, which I believe is referring to the covenantal body of Old Testament saints who were raised out of covenantal death, which was associated with Adam's fall in the garden, as well as their covenant unfaithfulness in the land of Israel, which caused them to be destroyed and sent out of the land, as well as their rejection of the Messiah, Jesus. That certainly was a collective body of people that needed to be raised out of their covenantal death. And I believe Ezekiel 37 is a good example of a text that might talk about that kind of collective salvation or collective restoration from their Babylonian captivity to live in the land again. However, not all of the resurrection texts are referring to that kind of collective body resurrection. And so we'll need to be very careful in our study of the resurrection text to make sure we make proper distinctions between these various kinds of resurrection. For instance, it's certainly possible to see the Old Testament saints raised as a collective body out of their slavery to Adamic death. At the same time, their individual disembodied souls were raised out of Hades and given their new individual immortal body. So we need to be very careful when we look at the context of these texts to see what kinds of resurrections they're talking about. But I believe the collective body view has gone too far in the direction of applying all of the resurrection text to the exclusive collective body view, and thus failing to make a clear distinction between the different kinds of resurrection that are talked about in each of those texts. And so that's one of our purposes here in pointing out all these different kinds of resurrection so that we'll keep them in mind as we look at the resurrection text so that we can make sure we're looking at the right kind of resurrection in each of those texts. Okay, the fourth kind of resurrection that I believe the Bible talks about is this resurrection of the dead out of Hades. This, I believe, is one of the most common biblical phrases that is used to identify the eschatological resurrection, and that is this phrase, resurrection of the dead. Most of the creeds and confessions use it in a different form or a modified form. They struggled with how to translate this phrase into the creeds. They did not want to stick with the exact phrase, resurrection of the dead, as it was used in the Bible, because it was too ambiguous in its reference to the body. So the creed and confession writers determined to settle the issue they had with the Gnostics and other spiritualizing originists by changing the wording to the resurrection of the flesh at first, and then later, after a lot of creedalists objected to that language of the resurrection of the flesh as being not biblical, they decided to change it to resurrection of the body instead, which was somewhat more palatable to the others who were objecting to the resurrection of the flesh terminology. But neither of these two formulas, resurrection of the flesh or resurrection of the body, are biblical. Neither one of those are found in the Bible. Instead, the Bible uses the phrase resurrection of the dead. But the creedalists needed those latter two phrases to be inserted into the creed so that they could use it against the Gnostics and Origen and his followers. However, the Bible talks about the saints before Christ going to Hades when they died, where they would wait until a kinsman redeemer, Christ Jesus, would appear to redeem their souls from Sheol and take them to heaven. That is the eschatological resurrection. It was referring to a resurrection of the disembodied souls of the saints out of Hades. Their bodies were not in Hades or Sheol, so their bodies could not be raised out of Hades or Sheol. The phrase resurrection of the dead is therefore talking about a resurrection of disembodied souls out of Hades, not a resurrection of dead bodies out of the ground. Now, there's a big difference. It may seem subtle at first, but there is a big difference between souls out of Hades and bodies out of the ground. And I know some of our fellow preterists have accused us individual body guys of teaching a bodies out of the ground resurrection. And we're not teaching that. We're talking about souls out of Hades, disembodied souls out of Hades. No bodies were raised out of Hades. And so we're not teaching a bodies out of the grave or a bodies out of Hades resurrection. There's a big difference here, and we need to make that distinction very clear, not only to our fellow preterist, but to the futurist as well. The resurrection of the dead ones at the last day is another of those once-for-all events like the cross. Once the saints were raised out of Hades, and Hades was then thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, then saints no longer go to Hades after that. Now when we die, after 70 AD, after the parousia, we go straight to heaven immediately at death. That is one of the benefits of the once-for-all resurrection event, like we talked about a few weeks ago. The once-for-all parousia, and the once-for-all cross, and the once-for-all resurrection, with ongoing benefits afterwards. So, now when we die, we go straight to heaven immediately at death. We don't need to be raised out of Hades because we don't go to Hades. Therefore, the resurrection is a past event, never to be repeated, since it emptied all saints out of Hades. And no more saints are going back to Hades after the once-for-all resurrection in 70 AD. And since no saints after AD 70 can be raised out of the dead ones in Hades, resurrection no longer applies to saints after 70 AD. Now when we die, we're not raised because we don't go to Hades. We go straight to heaven. No resurrection is necessary for us to go to heaven now. But it was for those saints before 70 AD. They had to be raised out of Hades before they could go to heaven. But we don't go to Hades now, so we're not raised back out of there. This phrase, resurrection of the dead, applies equally well to the souls of the righteous who were raised out of Hades at the same time as Jesus' resurrection in Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, as well as it applies to the rest of the dead souls who were raised out of Hades at the parousia. That is why we affirm that the first resurrection at the beginning of the millennium and the rest of the dead at the end of the millennium were both resurrections of disembodied souls out of Hades, and therefore they're the same kind of resurrection. because they were both raising dead disembodied saints out of Hades. And so the first resurrection and the rest of the dead that are mentioned in Revelation 20 are referring to resurrections of disembodied souls out of Hades. All of us, futurist and preterist, have admitted that the dead went to Hades at physical death and would have to be raised back out of Hades at the parousia. But few of us seem to connect the term resurrection with that resurrection of dead disembodied souls out of Hades. The futurists especially have assumed that the only kind of resurrection of dead ones that is under consideration in these texts is a resurrection and resuscitation of dead bodies out of the grave. Where were the dead ones? Well, obviously, they were in Sheol or Hades. And so the resurrection of the dead, or the dead ones as it is in the Greek, it would have to be a resurrection of the dead ones out of whatever place they were in at the time of the resurrection. And we know that's Sheol or Hades. The dead ones were in Sheol and Hades. The only way the dead ones could get out of there was by being raised back out of there by God at the resurrection on the last day. Revelation 20 through 22 certainly describes the resurrection of all the dead, righteous and unrighteous, out of Hades. Those whose names are not in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, where they are tormented day and night, forever and ever, it says in Revelation chapter 20. Death and Hades were both thrown into the lake of fire, along with the devil and his angels, where the beast and the false prophet were also. That doesn't sound like a physical place on earth if the devil and his angels were thrown into it. Couldn't have been the Valley of Hinnom outside the walls of Jerusalem. You can't punish Satan and his angels in the Valley of Hinnom, but you could certainly punish them in a spiritual place in the unseen realm, which is what the Lake of Fire is. The Lake of Fire was a place in the unseen realm where Satan and his minions could be tormented day and night forever. It is contrasted with the New Jerusalem, also in the unseen realm of heaven, where the righteous were to dwell after the resurrection and judgment. If the Lake of Fire is in the unseen realm, then the New Jerusalem has to be in the unseen realm as well, because they're both contrasted as being in the same realm, where the righteous go into the New Jerusalem and the wicked are left outside in the lake of fire. And so that really points to the unseen realm where heaven and the lake of fire are. It does not talk about the things on earth and the way things are on earth, like some of our fellow preterists are wanting us to believe. It requires no stretch of credulity to understand that the disembodied souls of the dead saints were raised up out of Hades and given their new immortal bodies. This resurrection occurred in the unseen realm. They were not raised back into their physical bodies in the seen realm. Their disembodied souls were raised out of Hades and given their new bodies, all of which occurred in the unseen realm. Then the resurrected dead were gathered together with the changed living saints and caught up to be with Christ in the unseen realm above. This very kind of resurrection and catching up in the unseen realm seems to have been witnessed and recorded by the priest and Josephus in his book of history. The dead were raised out of Hades and sent to their respective eternal destinies. The judgment mentioned in Matthew chapter 25 was not seen by anyone on earth. However, we know that it occurred because the priest in the temple on Pentecost in AD 66 heard the voices of a great multitude in the unseen realm saying that they were leaving one place and going to another place. The priest did not see this resurrection, but they heard it and felt it when it happened. So there was a resurrection at the Parousia in AD 66. Here is how Josephus describes it. Besides these, a few days after that feast, on the 21st day of the month, Artemisius, a certain prodigious and incredible phenomena appeared. I suppose the account of it would seem to be a fable, were it not related by those that saw it, and were not the events that followed it of so considerable a nature as to deserve such signals. For, before sunsetting, chariots and troops of soldiers in their armor were seen running about among the clouds and surrounding of cities. Moreover, at that feast which we call Pentecost, as the priests were going by night into the inner court of the temple, as their custom was, to perform their sacred ministrations, they said that, in the first place, they felt a quaking and heard a great noise, and after that they heard a sound as of a great multitude saying, "Let us remove hence." This is recorded in the Complete Works of Josephus in the Wars, Book 6, Sections 296 through 300. That's a fascinating account of something that happened in the unseen realm. It was unseen by the priest. They did not see what was happening, but they heard it and felt it, and they gave their testimony about it, and Josephus recorded it in his history. So here we see a resurrection, evidently, of dead saints out of Hades and their transfer to another location in the unseen realm. That seems to be what Josephus is recording here, that the temple priest experienced on that Pentecost in AD 66. Well, there's another kind of resurrection that I believe the Bible talks about, and it's not a resurrection as such. It's what happened to the living saints at the resurrection event. It's a bodily change of the living. The living, of course, were not in Hades, so they couldn't be raised out of Hades at the Parousia and resurrection, but they could have their bodies changed into immortal bodies, the same kind of bodies that the dead received at the resurrection. And so they would participate in that resurrection event by having their bodies changed, then being caught up together with the resurrected dead to be with Christ forever afterwards. And so that's the kind of bodily change that I believe 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is talking about. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and following, Apostle Paul mentioned what would happen to the living saints at the time when the dead saints would be raised out of Hades. He says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead would be raised, and we, the living and remaining saints, will be changed. Notice the distinction between what happens to the dead versus the living at the second coming. The dead ones would be raised out of Hades and given their new immortal bodies, while the living saints would have their mortal bodies changed into immortal bodies without having to experience physical death. Now, if that's the first time you've ever encountered that idea, that's probably profound. It certainly was for me. It is profound beyond words when we understand what Paul is talking about here in regard to the bodily change of the living. But that's exactly what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice that the living were not raised out of Hades, because they had not died and gone to Hades. So the living did not need to be raised. Resurrection doesn't apply to them. It only applies to those saints who had already died, whose disembodied souls were waiting in Hades for the Son of Man, who had the keys to death in Hades, to come and unlock the gates of Hades and set the captives free, give them their new immortal bodies, and take them to heaven. However, the living saints only needed to have their bodies changed in order to go to heaven. This may be a very subtle distinction in the minds of most Christians, but it is definitely what Paul is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 54. The dead were raised, and the living were changed. Their physical mortal bodies were changed from mortal to immortal in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Paul says. Even though this was not a resurrection of bodies or souls, it was something which enabled the living saints to participate in the resurrection event and get their new bodies at the same time that the resurrected dead got their new immortal bodies. The dead got the resurrection, while the living saints got a bodily change. I need to note here that this bodily change concept is the precise point at which all of us have stumbled in the past, both futurist and preterist. It is a difficult concept to wrap our minds around, but it is so very important to understand because it relates to the kind of bodies that the dead received at the resurrection, as well as the kind of bodily change that the living received. Without this change of the living into their new immortal bodily forms, there would be no way to explain how the living and remaining Thessalonian saints would be reunited with their departed loved ones at the parousia, which is exactly what Paul promises those living saints, those who live and remain until the parousia would be reunited with them. And that's the source, or that's the basis for his encouragement to them, so that they would be encouraged and not grieve over the loss of their loved ones, because Paul promises them that at the parousia, they would be reunited with their loved ones. Their loved ones would not miss out on the benefits. They would be raised, and the saints, the living saints, would be changed and reunited with them at the parousia. That reunion with their departed loved ones required those living saints to be changed into their immortal bodies so that they could be caught up together with their resurrected loved ones to be with Christ forever afterwards in the heavenly realm. Well, what about us today, you might be saying? That's all fine and good for the first century saints, but what about us? What happens to us when we physically die? We get new bodies, just like Christ's immortal body. Christ gave the dead their new bodies and changed the living into their new bodies and caught them both up together to be with him forever at his parousia. Because of his return to raise the dead and change the living, we now have heaven and our new immortal bodies available to us immediately after death. That is the whole point of the resurrection event. It was a once-for-all event, which gave us those ongoing benefits. We don't have to be raised. We get the benefits that the resurrection provided to us. Since the resurrection of the dead has occurred, saints no longer have to go to Hades at death. We instead receive our new immortal bodies and go to heaven immediately after death. Jesus died on the cross to reverse the death sentence upon Adam's race because of his sin, and to pay for all the sins of every one of us. All those who were in Adam were under that curse. All those who are in Christ are saved from the power of that curse to condemn us and separate us from God for eternity. Because we have sinned, however, we are under the death sentence just like Adam was, but not for his sin, but for our own sin. Because the law of sin and death says that anyone who sins, Adam or anybody else, shall surely die. And so death comes because of sin, but we're no longer under Adam's sin. Our death comes because of our own sin. The law of sin and death makes all sinners subject to death. If we sin, we have to die. There is no escape from physical death and our physical bodies returning to dust. Nor can we get our self-same corrupted bodies back again after death has returned them to dust. Jesus is the only one who could get his self-same uncorrupted body back permanently to keep and take with him to heaven. The rest of us will instead have to get new immortal bodies which are like his glorious body. Those new immortal bodies are reserved in heaven for us. We get them immediately after death and then go to heaven where we enjoy him forever. And so we have a better hope. That's a far better hope than the futurist thinks that they have. They are quick to accuse preterists of destroying our hope for an afterlife in heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. They believe that we do not get our new immortal bodies until a yet future resurrection event. Plus, they are not sure whether their disembodied souls go to Hades or some part of heaven when they die. Preterists definitely have a better hope than that, because we believe that saints no longer have to go to Hades and wait until the second coming to get our new immortal bodies and go to heaven, like the futurists think they have to do. Which is the better hope? Still be waiting for the resurrection and waiting to get our new immortal bodies? Or receiving our new immortal bodies and going to heaven immediately after death? It is the same heavenly afterlife hope for both futurist and preterist, but the preterist sees it as a hope that is realized immediately after death rather than still having to wait for it to be finally fulfilled in the distant future. As Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a hope fulfilled is a tree of life." Which hope is better? Which hope would you rather have? Well, we promised at the beginning of our session that we would answer the question, why were the physical bodies of the saints not raised in 70 AD? Well, of course, the futurist will deny all of what we just said about our afterlife hope, and we would expect them to do that. They have incessantly insisted that the eschatological resurrection at the last day must be a resurrection, reassembly, and resuscitation of the physical bodies out of the grave. They insist that that's the only kind of resurrection that the Bible talks about at the end of the age, the last day, when Christ returns. They believe it's going to be a resurrection of bodies out of the grave, since that's the kind of resurrection that Lazarus and Jesus both got. And they point out that the son of the widow of Nain, Luke 7, verse 15, and the daughter of Jairus, Luke 8, verse 54 through 55, and Lazarus in John 11, were all bodily resurrections back to physical life. Same way for Jesus. Since we are supposed to have a resurrection like Jesus, we must also get our self-same body back like he did. Now that sounds like a good argument, doesn't it? However, it's overlooking a few scriptures and biblical concepts that we've already discussed. But the futurist question is still a very good question and deserves a solid biblical answer. Why were the physical bodies of the saints not raised out of the graves in AD 70? Here are several reasons why I believe the bodies of the dead saints were not raised out of the graves in AD 70. Number one, we need to remember that only Christ could get his self-same body back and take it to heaven with him and keep it forever. And that was because he was sinless. His body was never corrupted by sin and was therefore never subject to decay. It could not return to dust, nor could it be abandoned to Hades. Jesus had the keys to death and Hades. He could open the door, walk right in, and walk right back out again. Death could not keep him. Hades could not hold him. He is the only one who could say, The Father has given me life within myself. No one can take it from me. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it back up again. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He yielded up his own spirit and died voluntarily. No one could kill him. His body was not mortal in the sense that it was forced to die because of its sinfulness, or destined to die and decay and return to dust, like our bodies are. Since he never sinned, his body was not mortal in that sense. Therefore, Jesus is the only one who could get his self-same body back and not have to leave it behind when he went to heaven. When he ascended, that flesh and bone body was changed into a glorious form that could dwell in heaven. He had a bodily change at the ascension. It was no longer a flesh and bone body after the ascension. Paul said that they once knew Christ according to the flesh, but that now, after the ascension, they knew him thus no longer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Heaven requires a different kind of body to dwell there. Number two, I think the second reason why the physical bodies were not raised out of the graves at 70 AD is that all those who were raised before AD 70 had to have their bodies resuscitated because their new immortal bodies were not yet available to them. But at 70 AD, they were available. They didn't need to get their old bodies back because they had their new bodies available to them. But before the resurrection in 70 AD, all those who were raised before 70 AD had to have their old bodies resuscitated and given to them because they did not have access to their new bodies yet. This is such an important point, yet almost every one of us, including all of us preterists, have overlooked that point. Why were those bodies not raised? Because they didn't need them. They had their new bodies available to them. The third reason, I think, why those physical bodies were not raised is because no one could get their new immortal bodies until the parousia. Christ ascended to the Father to prepare those new dwelling places and those new bodies for us. They were reserved in heaven for the dead saints until the parousia and resurrection event. And so those who died and were raised before 70 AD could not get those new bodies yet, and so they had to be raised in their old bodies if they were going to be raised out of the dead. If the dead saints were going to be raised back to life on earth, they indeed should have had their physical bodies raised back up and restored to them. However, that is not what the better resurrection, which is the eschatological resurrection at the last day, was all about. The last day resurrection is a better resurrection. Now, why is it called a better resurrection? Better than what? Better than the bodies out of the grave resurrection? Yeah, that's what it's talking about. Now, what is a better resurrection than a body out of the graves? Well, obviously, it's resurrection out of Hades permanently and getting a new body and going to heaven. That is a better resurrection all the way around. Much better, far better than getting your old physical body back and dwelling on earth again. It was for the purpose of raising the dead out of Hades and taking them to heaven where they would need a new kind of body that was suited to heavenly existence. That was what the better resurrection was all about. It was not for the purpose of raising physical bodies out of the grave and giving them life back on earth again. It was for the purpose of raising the dead out of Hades and taking them to heaven where they would live in a new kind of body that was suited to that heavenly existence. They were not raised back into their physical bodies to appear on earth again. That was not the better resurrection. They remained in the unseen realm the whole time during their resurrection out of Hades during their reception of their new immortal bodies, and during their time of being caught up to heaven. They never came back into the physical realm. They remained in the unseen realm during that whole process of resurrection out of Hades, reception of their new immortal bodies, and being caught up to heaven. Now, the fifth reason, I believe, why those physical bodies were not raised up out of the grave and given to them again is because those new bodies were not available yet until Christ ascended to heaven and prepared them for us. Then at his return, the rest of the dead were raised out of Hades and given those new bodies and taken to heaven. They did not need their physical bodies to be put back on them now in this resurrection, because it's a better resurrection. They did not need their physical bodies. And so the physical bodies were not raised and given to them and put back on them, because they were not going to spend any time back on earth again. They were headed straight to heaven, where they would need a new kind of body to dwell in. Why bring them back into their mortal bodies to appear on earth and then have to change those bodies into immortal bodies before going to heaven? Why take them through that at all? Don't need to. Why not just bypass the whole fleshly body resurrection and give them their better resurrection that they preferred anyway, and take them straight to heaven with their new immortal bodies like they wanted? They didn't want their old physical bodies back and have to dwell on earth again. They wanted to go to heaven and have their new bodies. And so that's why those physical bodies were not raised out of the grave. They didn't need them. They didn't want them. They wanted the better resurrection. Number six, the book of Hebrews refers to the AD 70 resurrection as a better resurrection, implying that it was something new, different, or better than the previous resurrections of the physical bodies and resurrection back to life on earth again. It was a better resurrection because it gave them a better kind of body, an immortal body, and a better place to dwell in heaven. As Apostle Paul said, that was very far better. It's a better resurrection all the way around. Abraham looked ahead and saw that better country of heaven waiting for him in the afterlife at the end of the age. He did not want to return to the physical body and the physical land of Canaan. He wanted the better thing. In the better country of heaven, a heavenly country, in a new immortal body. The number seventh reason, I believe, why those physical bodies were not raised out of the grave in 70 AD is because any saint, if given a choice between getting their physical body back and dwelling on this sinful earth again versus getting a new immortal body and dwelling in heaven, would obviously choose the better things, the better resurrection, the heavenly country and the immortal body. Abraham and Apostle Paul both referred to it as better or far better than a life in the flesh on earth again. Number eight, the reason why I believe the bodies were not raised out of the grave and given to them again was not because God could not raise their physical bodies and restore them to an earthly existence at the Parousia, but rather because he had prepared something better for them. A physical body resurrection might have been better than dwelling disembodied in Hades, but it was not worthy to be compared to an immortal body dwelling in heaven, which is a far better resurrection indeed, as Apostle Paul described it. Their new dwelling places had been prepared, and their new immortal bodies were ready to be put on. That was something new, which no previous generation had available to them. That explains why they got those new bodies instead of having their old ones raised. All previous generations had to come back into the flesh and dwell on earth again if they were raised back out of Hades, because their new bodies and new dwelling places were not available to them yet. But then at the Parousia, those new bodies were available, So they didn't need to have their old physical bodies raised again when they had their new, better, immortal bodies available to them. So at the Parousia, Christ raised them out of Hades and clothed them with their new immortal bodies and received them to himself there in the unseen heavenly realm, where they could dwell with him forever afterward. That indeed is a better resurrection, far better than having their physical bodies raised back up for them. And so that's the reason why I believe those physical bodies were not raised back out of the grave. They didn't need them. They didn't want them. They were not as good as what they had available to them now at the Parousia. And they were given the better resurrection, which did not need those physical bodies to be raised back out of there. They had the new bodies waiting for them, and they put them on and went to heaven to dwell with Christ forever afterwards. And that's the same thing that we will get to do when we die. We will put on our new immortal bodies and go to heaven to dwell with our Savior forever and ever. Well, that's a glorious hope, and it's a better hope than our futurist brothers have in their thinking. And I think we have very clearly and easily shown why their futurist arguments are not valid, because there was no need for those physical bodies to be raised back out of there. And that's not at all what the New Testament promises to those saints. When they were raised, they would be given new bodies, not have their old bodies raised and put back on. And the living saints would be changed. What a marvelous experience that must have been for those living saints to have their bodies changed without having to experience physical death. Now we can understand why they were willing to go through all kinds of torment and persecution and tribulation in order to live and remain till that bodily change. It was a glorious hope that was set out before them. And they longed for his return so that they could receive those new bodies without having to experience the physical death. Amazing concept when you can wrap your head around that and understand what that bodily change was all about. It was an amazing incentive for those living saints to remain faithful so that they could receive that bodily change at the Parousia. Well, I hope that has been beneficial for you. I think it'll bless your socks off when you understand this. That'll just about wrap it up for this session. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been Then and Now with Ed Stevens. We would love to hear from you. Send your email to preterist1 at preterist.org. Our website has many great articles, books, and audio video resources. The address is www.preterist.org. This teaching ministry depends on your donations and you share in all the good fruit that we produce. To make a donation or support monthly, simply go to our website, www.preterist.org, or call us at 814-368-6578. Join us again next time for Then and Now, where we study the past to shape a better future.